Hello from the show floor of VMworld 2015 in San Francisco. This is Brian Madden, and you're listening to BrianMadden.com live podcast, where we're talking about the keynote that we just got out of, and we watched VMware talk about end-user computing and that kind of stuff. I'm joined here by Jack Madden. Hello, Jack.
Good morning, and from the VMworld show.
And from Gabe.
Hi.
Sorry, we're a little off. We were just having an argument about the new haptic click touchpad of Gabe's new laptop.
Well, I'm telling you, that damn thing moves.
Yeah.
I don't care if there's a motor in there that makes it go boom every time I do it, but that thing moves.
So to summarize this keynote, we just
I'm glad we let that affect our job.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, it's like in Major League when the people in the fans in the audience are like, oh, it's too high, it's too low. No, what do you mean too high?
It's like, shit, it's gone.
That's it. We've never gotten in an actual argument about Citrix or VMware or Microsoft or anything like that, but it's like those little things. Like, it's so
friendship over.
But so I overheard as I was walking back out of here, that keynote was a whole lot of nothing. EUC, they said, yes, we have EUC. It was 5 minutes of the keynotes. And then they said, what was the other thing? Moving forward, the least risk is take risks. Taking risk is going to be the least risky thing to do. And he's like, look, have some more Kool-Aid.
Okay, so, well, come on, that's a little bit of hyperbole, because there was a solid 30 minutes of EUC in that keynote. We just have to think back to a whole hour and a half ago, because then after that, we got the last half hour of the keynote, which was...
Yeah, you must be happy, because for the first time, AirWatch got some, like, real attention.
Yeah. So, yeah, like let's talk about that. So, they didn't mention anything EUC-related yesterday, and they said they'll do everything in today's keynote. The keynote was an hour and a half today, and they did half an hour on EUC. And so there's the live blog, which I posted, which kind of has, you know, the details. We're going to get into it. They announced Project A Squared. They talked about AirWatch and being able to manage Windows 10 with AirWatch. They talked about Microsoft is on stage. Microsoft gave them a hug. They said we're friends now. We'll talk about that. But there's a few other announcements that were actually made from VMware, like via the press releases. Like they announced Horizon 6.2, Horizon 6.2 for Linux. I think the word Horizon was not mentioned at all. I mean, they talked about the workspace.
Yeah, maybe
suite, but
maybe very briefly. Like there was the, by the way, you can deliver apps this way.
Yeah. So let's start with this. Do you want to start with AirWatch? A squared. So A squared is it's AirWatch and app volumes.
That's where they got A squared from.
And this is what Harry talked about on Sunday. And Gabe, you took some notes of his session.
Yeah, and it's not. So he did. I don't think he said A squared in that thing.
He called
it Project Astro.
Right.
So
right.
Anything you've seen on our site was Project Astro. That one article, that's what we're talking about. And so this is basically delivering Windows applications via AirWatch using app volumes.
Well, also the big deal with it is that it's app volumes going onto physical machines.
App volumes has worked on physical machines for a while.
Now,
okay so what's interesting here, though, is that what they're doing, app volumes, the whole direction that VMware's been going right now with the acquisition of Amidio and then with cloud volumes, now app volumes, is they're breaking up the Windows environment into its constituent parts. So Harry used the term ingredients. And so we've got user profile information, we've got policy information, we've got data, application-specific data, settings, and the applications themselves. And they're breaking these things into different parts, and then they can assemble those parts in different ways. And so the analogy that Harry used the other day was baking a cake. It's basically the same ingredients, but you get a different cake if you put them together in a different order. And that's what A squared is. You're using their new management console, their new management interface, to assemble these ingredients in a new way and then deliver different services, is what they're calling that term, to devices using AirWatch now. And so what Harry showed us in the demo was using Windows 10, enrolling that in an organization, not joining it to the domain, but enrolling it to AirWatch MDM, and then deploying Windows full applications to VDI or physical desktops.
So I have there's a comment, by the way. Project A Squared announced before Project Fargo or Project Enzo is launched.
Yeah, marketing, so Fargo
was
last year.
But no real execution.
So remember Fargo last year? Fargo was the instant VM provisioning. And I don't remember any more details from that, but I remember we came away really jazzed that we were going to find out about it this year. And not a single thing.
Well, so I've got two questions about A Squared. The first is a statement. This is them going after physical endpoints, like physical PCs and laptops, without all this Mirage bullshit. I'm saying this is VMware going after the physical without all this like Mirage garbage that like is an ant with a sledgehammer. You just to get an app down there. The question I have about A Squared, which I don't know, is so this is using the new MDM enabled, or whatever they're calling it, you know, Windows 10 like EMM enablement. So like Sean was talking about, you can use all these things instead of, you know, GPOs and that kind of stuff. But if you're putting apps and app volumes, does this mean that you can put old school Windows apps? Because, like, you know, we talk about how, you know, all these MDM type things, or all the new management of Windows 10 requires Windows Store apps, but I guess I'm not really thinking about that properly. I guess it is, like, we're talking, you can use MDM to manage your laptop, and you can actually put old school
Windows apps. Yeah,
Windows desktop apps.
Separate from the whole universal app. Whatever the project was, the Windows bridge for classic Windows applications. That it's separate from that discussion.
So this is almost like an alternative to the Windows bridge for classic applications by using app volumes. Mm-hmm. So the big question there is, maybe you were getting to this point, Brian, is between app volumes and all the MDM APIs that AirWatch is consuming, does that entirely cover all of our bases for what we need to do? Or, you know, what gaps are there going to be in there? One of the questions that came up, you know, a lot of people, like, they say, what, you're telling me that this user is just going to come in with some random Windows 10 laptop and, you know, and do that company join with me? Like, I don't know what this laptop is. So the question is, attestation of that device and of the operating system on that device.
And so it's giving this charm laughing. This booth next to us is so loud. They have a bigger speaker than us. We have to get that. So the project A Squared is not, this is just a project that they announced. This is not something that is a product yet. It's not out. They didn't talk about dates or anything like that. It's just sort of
technical preview, I think they said.
Yeah. So we're gonna need to dig more into this into Windows 10 management and can you really? I didn't know this. What Sean said on Sunday, I didn't realize that. Like, I think he said pretty much everything you can do with GPOs that you needed GPOs for before, you can do it with EMM, MDM type management on Windows 10.
Well, and if that's true, that was the discussions that Jack and I were having. We're okay, so if we can do our applications this way, what's the gap that we have to fill here? What can't we do with MDM that we can do with, say, more traditional techniques? If that gap is getting smaller,
but some people would say, maybe 6 weeks ago I wrote the blog that the big question was, okay, the question is not when you're gonna start rolling out Windows 10. The question is when you're going to start rolling out Windows 10 and managing it with MDM. And the people say, okay, it's like, you know, 300 MDM APIs or whatever that you have versus like all of everything else that you could possibly do.
And all the processes and expertise that you already have on staff to do that.
Yeah.
So I doubt that it's going to be both things together. We learned that lesson with VDI, right? Like, we had enough on our plate to migrate from XP to Windows 7. We didn't have the bandwidth to also throw VDI into that. And I think we'll be in the same boat here. I think we're going to see people move to Windows 10. And then once, you know, that gives these platforms time to mature. And I think there will be a point, though, where we realize how ridiculous it is to manage four different application delivery platforms and two different systems management platforms. And by then, MDM, the gap closes even more. People become more comfortable with it. And now we've got one way to manage everything, which, you know, that's pretty
apps
cool.
Apps and devices. And apps with app volumes. This means, you know, we're managing our Windows apps with app volumes. Our mobile apps are being managed with, you know, AirWatch or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I never thought about that. To me, it never occurred to me that the EMM type management for Windows 10 could do old school desktop apps, and that's pretty huge.
This is where, like a year and a half ago, or more than a year and a half ago, when Windows 8.1 MDM, when people first started talking about that, I remember writing articles and talking to both of you guys, like, okay, where can we do this and where does it break down? And we were trying to figure out, like, can we do, you know, AppV on top of these MDM-managed laptops? And the answer was no. And so this is
that.
Yeah.
This is
that finally working.
Now, so AirWatch, AirWatch is going huge after, like, I mean, VMware via AirWatch is going huge after managing the desktop. Like, this is something that Citrix is not talking about, because Citrix is like the Microsoft relationship. Oh, there's SCCM, and hey, we're going to do virtual. And like, we wrote 10 years ago, does Citrix need to get into the desktop management business? And now, I mean, I'm assuming we're seeing, you know, like Mobile Iron is going into this big time.
Mobile Iron has been huge about this. And this is, several people mentioned this to me after the keynote, like, absolutely, Mobile Iron all summer has been huge on managing Windows 10. But guess what Mobile Iron doesn't have? Mobile Iron doesn't have app volumes.
Huh. Yeah. Well,
Iron go get an application management company?
Wrapper company. There's a lot of little ones out there. There was four of them at Brian Forum, you know?
Man,
CloudHouse, FS Logix.
Yeah. And to have, because also a lot of these, you know, these application management vendors, you know, Gabe, as you know, many of them work in very different ways.
Yeah.
So getting one of them that's compatible with going on top of MDM-managed Windows 10, I mean, it's a lot of questions to answer there.
I can only think of a couple.
We've got a lot to dig into here. While we're on this topic, the VMware Identity Manager?
Yeah.
That's the thing you wrote about last week.
Yeah, so this is where... Did I say this in the podcast before? Like, so VMware Identity Manager, formerly VMware Workspace Portal, formerly Horizon Workspace, formerly, I think I missed one in there.
Yeah, but
previous app, Project Origami.
Yeah. It's their web thing.
Yeah.
Which is now...
Jack went through a five-minute lineage of all the names, and Brian's like, yeah, it's their web thing.
it's the Horizon web thing.
But remember, for years we were talking, okay, like, the goal is... like single sign-on into native mobile apps, and that was always a gap up until up until recently when all the AirWatch came in. So basically, that vision of having a portal that can get you into all of your apps, all of your data, every single device. Now that they have AirWatch, like, that's finally all coming together. And of course, it's also not really completely about the portal, because remember, all of these apps, you can do something that's that's called service provider initiated login. So that means that, like, your company is set up with Box or whatever. VMware Identity Manager can be in the background doing all that SAML federation. You go to Box, you'd like type in your tech target or your employee's email address. Box knows.
Because of the service provider initiated thing you said, yeah.
So it's like, this is, you know, cool, modern identity stuff. And
then, Noah showed a bit of that the other day, didn't he? Sunday?
Yeah. He showed a few different versions of that. Like, one version, like, with a basic SAML-enabled mobile app. Also, he showed something else involving... the app config for enterprise program. I don't know if you want me to get into that.
I have opinions. That's the new ace. Let's table that for a second, because I want to go back to VMware Identity Manager. They announced VMware Identity Manager Advanced today, which is VMware Identity Manager as a service.
Yeah. So, and also, if I read the press release in my quick scan correctly, it's also available as a freestanding product, because VMware Identity Manager was, when they first announced it in June and it did become available then, it was part of AirWatch, and then of course there was still Workspace Portal, but, you know, getting the version with AirWatch meant that you had all the mobile integration. So this this freestanding version, we'll have to see a little bit how it's kind of packaged. But then this means, like, a lot of people also saw that and were saying, like, okay, so this independent offering, it's going up, what, against Okta, you know, Ping, Centrify, Azure AD, whatever. And, like, we said, like, okay, of course it makes sense to have the version that's integrated with AirWatch and integrated with Horizon to make it, having everything all together makes sense. But as an independent identity management as a service offering, I mean, I guess if they have it, they might as well.
That's what I was going to say, is that, oh, well, we have this anyway, we're running it, we can push one more button and
now go over there.
Like, who knows, you know, if someone, you know, they're shopping around for Okta and those others, whatever, like, does the IBM come up in the list? Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's there.
You know, part of that, you mentioned shopping around, you mentioned Azure ID, or whatever, you know, whatever that's called. That leads me to Microsoft, because, you know, there's a lot of buzz on what happened an hour ago. There's an article on Business Insider about how Microsoft and VMware buried the hatchet. And, you know, they're now, they're like, they're friends. And Putin made a big deal about how this is the first time Microsoft was on stage at a VMware keynote.
Jack and I were trying to decide which one carries more weight. Citrix had a video from Brad, and Microsoft got Jim.
Well, and that's kind of a thing. So,
but
so,
everybody playing together is cool.
Yeah, I mean, well, so first of all, I mean, you know, what was said, which without being said, was, hey, historically, it's Citrix and Microsoft who are arm in arm on stage together saying, better together, that's literally their marketing slogan, we're the way to do things, and, you know, you won't go wrong, you know, you won't go get fired if you're a Microsoft customer, you won't get fired by buying Citrix. And the whole VMware competing against Microsoft makes it tough, and now VMware is saying, hey, we're on stage with Microsoft, and we're friends with them, and look, Microsoft is giving us a hug. Now, there's a couple things that are interesting, because, of course, after that dude from Microsoft got off stage, the very darn next thing that they demonstrated was going into SCCM repository and sucking all the applications out of there via A squared. So it's like, yeah, look at what while you're hugging you, it's like the bump and nudge.
But I'm hitting you.
I'm hugging you while I'm reaching your back pocket and taking your wallet.
That, you're right. That hug specifically relates to Windows 10 as a client operating system.
That is, Jack, that is a great. And I think I want to put that into a tweet, because that, it's like the lawyer, like, that was a very specific hug. And that very specific hug was about Windows 10. Because first of all,
by releasing this hug, you acknowledge that this is only about Windows 10?
Yeah, Windows 10 as a client OS, not about the cloud, not about the delivery platform, not about the hypervisor, not about the identity platform, not about the management platform,
SCCM, not about
yeah, exactly.
Not about Intune.
Exactly. It's a hug with a footnote.
We're going to help you sell Windows licenses as if, like, you needed any more help.
It's like, hey, like, but, like, to be clear, when I slept with you, that did not mean I wanted a relationship. That was just, I needed that right now, that night. So if you read into that further, that's on you.
Right.
But here's the thing also. And the person they brought on stage was this dude, Jim Alcove. Not to take away from him, he's been at Microsoft, you know, 10-something years, 20 years. You know, he's a corporate vice president for enterprise security in Microsoft's Windows and Devices group. It wasn't Satya Nadella. It wasn't Brad Anderson. It was some dude. And again, like, you know, not to go away, like, this is not like they didn't get Nadella or Brad Anderson. They got a guy from Microsoft to be on stage with them. And who's
the Windows 10 guy?
The Windows 10 specifically, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So of course, with Intune, and between Intune and AirWatch and now, like, A squared, I mean, those are big rivals butting head. You have Microsoft saying, like, no, Intune has to be the way that you do EMM. And, you know, their whole big thing that they're holding on to is that Intune is the only EMM that's going to be able to manage the Office mobile apps.
Which still, well, that's a topic for another day, but that's still garbage, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to what was not mentioned in the keynote is the announcement of Horizon 6.2, as well as the announcement of Horizon 6.2 for Linux. These were released in press release, but they did not come out. I took a look at new features for these. Did you see that?
I went through. I didn't see a specific list of new features. I did see a couple of things that talked about how there was now support for Skype for Business and file type associations, which I thought was pretty funny because I didn't realize that client-side file type associations weren't supported in Horizon 6 just because it's been around for Citrix for like 30 years in my mind. And it's just one of those features I didn't know could not exist.
Speaking of Citrix, can I just go on record? In the early part of the keynotes, they had like the customer video with the inspirational music and this kind of stuff. And the guy's like, oh, it's great because we can use Chromebooks and access these CAD-CAM applications. It's like these really expensive high-end apps we can access from cheap devices. And I tweeted, whoa, with VMware, you can use cheap laptop to access expensive CAD-CAM apps? Hashtag the future. Well, hashtag VMworld 2015.
And then it's any. And then it's better together with Microsoft. This is like Synergy 2006.
Yeah, and total value of ownership instead of total cost of ownership. But
My favorite tweet or comment or whatever it is from you, I think ever, was last year. When you were like, Citrix is like control C, VMware is like control V.
C for Citrix, V for VMware. I actually cannot take credit for that. That was a brilliant tweet. I retweeted it.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, though, to be clear to those on Twitter, I was joking about my excitement about how you can use a cheap, like, oh my God, like they're you know, talking about like how it's amazing you can do this. Of course, we make fun of Citrix for the same thing in their keynotes for talking about like 101 level, you know, functionality to their mass audience. VMware, first of all, the big news for Horizon 6.2, and then there's Horizon 6.2 for Linux, which is, it does vGPU and vSGA, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
And it's for Linux, so it's all the same clients, it's just your backend, you know, VM can be a Linux VM now instead of a Windows VM.
That's one of the things that NVIDIA is talking about, too, is the Grid 2.0 support for Linux.
But Horizon 6.2, one of the things I like about it is they're calling it, I'm assuming, Horizon 6.2. Because...
Not Horizon 6.
Yeah, so Horizon 6 came out in April of last year, so 18 months ago. And VMware has been sort of very quietly updating features and adding to it. And internally they said, yeah, here's Horizon 6.1. But, you know, and they released Horizon 6.1 6 months ago, but publicly they didn't call it 6.1.
Yeah, it was Horizon 6, version 6.1.
But it was what was a gigantic pain in the butt is, like, they made all the technical documentation. It's really hard to tell if you're reading something on the new version, the old version. And my joking response to that was that, well, it's probably because Horizon 6 had so few features compared to Zenap when it first came out that they thought if we just keep on naming all the next versions of our stuff Horizon 6, we can say, hey, Horizon 6 came out, you know, 14 years ago, comma, and look at all these features it has.
Well, and by the time they get to 7, they can be like, boom, feature complete.
which is what, you know, Citrix is still working on, saying 7, boom, feature complete.
Well, they can both have 7, and they can be feature, like, parallel.
Well, no, maybe that's it in our industry. There's some unwritten rule. You're only allowed to be feature complete at a version 6. So that's just like, that is the threshold. It's like the sound barrier. Like the feature complete barrier is version 6 only.
So when they get to 6.5.
So VMware is just, you know, we're just going to name all our products Horizon 6. So I like that they're calling it saying Horizon 6.2. I hope to go public with that name. I didn't actually even notice if it was announced or released or whatever.
There was 6.2 in the press releases.
Yeah, so yeah. But the point is, it's not groundbreaking. It's just more, you know, iterating the features, FIPS 140 to compliance, you know, like this sort of thing. Let's talk. Gabe, you mentioned Grid. So Grid is the NVIDIA, you know, virtualized GPUs.
Yeah.
They announced Grid 2.0. At the show here, and you talked to them yesterday.
Yeah, so we shot a video with Jared Cowart, who I think is familiar to our audience. Man, you're going to get to hear the next-gen people talking for a little while. Let's take a break. And so we stopped over and talked to NVIDIA, and so they've got a couple of announcements. One is just a new version of their Tesla GPUs for virtualization. So they have an M6, which is a Blade compatible GPU, and they have an M60, which is the traditional PCIe card. And that is more or less replacing the K1 and K2 cards. K1 and K2 will still be around.
Does one replace both of them? Like, it's
the M60 replaces both, yeah.
And it can be used either for fewer users with more power per user, or for lots of users.
You've got twice as many resources, and you can divide that up
however you want. So that, you know, the marketing from NVIDIA is 2x the users or 2x the performance.
But this, it's the same card.
It's the same card.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
So the other thing that they talk about is that Grid is now not the hardware. Grid is a software platform. And so I think it's because they have all these different hardware pieces to support now. I mean, they've got four, the K1, K2, M6 Blade GPU, and M60 modular GPU. And so Grid for them now is software that you buy and license. And so they've got three different tiers of Grid in addition to buying the hardware, the card itself. And I forget those tiers specifically. They've got the lowest tier is task worker type stuff. The middle tier adds in the Linux VDA support, I think. And then the third tier is like dedicated GPU, super high-end use case. And so these are licenses now that you're going to end up buying.
And I assume they did that so that you didn't buy the $300 home gaming card at Best Buy or wherever people buy cards now.
Yeah, because that'll be based on that K2 now.
Point is, but that was something people were doing before, is because the GPU that was in their Grid was the same GPU you could get a high-end gaming card from Amazon, and it was, and that was $300 versus $3,000. And, you'd like do a couple little things there and there. So I guess by moving Grid to software, that separates that from the actual hardware you buy.
Yeah. That means a software company.
That means the Grid cards should cost like $500 though.
I didn't ask. Yeah. But, yeah, we can find that out.
So we've got, I'm just going through our list here, Grid, the Blades now. Let's go back to New Ace. Jack, what you were saying? ACE.
ACE is something called an app configuration for enterprise. This is a mobile app management thing. So what it's based on is the fact that the MDM protocols for both iOS and now Android for Work allow you to configure certain settings in an app using the MDM protocol. And also, of course, you're using all those device-level frameworks to add, the work-person separation features, like all the mobile app management stuff. So my soapbox position for years has been, hey, we have both these device-level mobile app management features, or you can get all these features by building it directly into the app itself. Now, building it into the app itself results in those competing ecosystems of apps.
Like, I got to build my app for Mobile Iron, and then another version of my app for AirWatch.
Yeah. Using the device stuff means that you don't have to have as many different competing, versions, but you have to have the managed devices. So it's like, what they're doing with ACE is great, it's just that they're like just leaving out the other half of the story.
Now, and there's talk about ACE wanting to be an industry standard, right?
Right, but there are just lots of use cases that ACE doesn't work for, and there's still a lot of effort that has to go that ISVs have to go through.
So are you excited about ACE for doing part of it, or are you not so excited about ACE because it's going to make people think that things are fixed now when really they're not?
I'm both. It's one of these things, like, it's great, but it's, there has to be both ways, and you can't be too dogmatic about one way or the other. And they have this stuff on the other side. I just wish they'd talk about it more.
Yeah, and I guess it's like we talk about it with AppVee. Even if you can't wrap all your apps in AppVee, it helps you with those. Like, the ones you can wrap is great. But that some people think, oh, we got AppVee now, we're good to go. And that's actually not the case.
Yeah.
Okay, so ACE, is that a thing now? Is it an announcement? Is it a plan? Is it a twinkle in their eye?
It's a, it's been around since Mobile World Congress in March. They've been getting more and more ISVs to build these apps that are, ACE compatible. But the thing is, if you're an ISV, you're still going to want to have the Mobile Iron version and the Citrix SDK version and all that. Bottom line is, mobile app management is still a mess.
Jax Gem Security.
Yeah.
I'm looking at our show notes here. I see the word Enzo about 15 question marks after it.
I think I had two and you added like seven more.
Let's talk about Enzo.
Where's Enzo?
What is Enzo?
I don't know. Let's talk about Enzo.
What is Enzo?
Enzo was announced on day one of Citrix Synergy by VMware, via Twitter, if I recall. And so it was their answer to Citrix Workspace and Cloud. In a way, it's different than that, but it's sort of an enigma right now. There's
I thought Enzo was
conversations,
VMs.
But
That's Flex.
That's Flex.
Oh, all right, all right, all right.
So,
I'm caught up.
Here's, we know the same about Enzo now as we did 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago. The thing that I'm, there's a bunch of question marks after Enzo because where the hell is Enzo? You know, I really expected to see something about it, some sort of demo, something I can get my hands on. Maybe there is something over there, but I expected it to be marketed. And it was not. They didn't talk about it at all. And, it, you know, they act like it's such a game changer, and I just expected to see it, you know. Citrix is talking about Workspace Cloud so much, I really expected VMware to be talking about it.
We have a meeting with Harry, Dabana, Noah Wassmer this afternoon. We also have a meeting with Sanjay this afternoon. So these are topics we can bring up with them. Actually, I should say to those listening, we have meetings with these folks, so specific questions you have, you know, send them our way, tweet them, chat them, whatever, and we'll ask. But that's a good thing to ask them.
Yeah, I mean, there was one mention of Enzo in, I'm trying to find the, okay, it's a two-sentence paragraph that says, many of you have been asking about bringing the power of instinct cloning to VMware Horizon. Oh, no, wait, sorry, that was Fargo. Yeah, nothing about Enzo. I did see a paragraph about Enzo somewhere, and it was that's all it was. It's worth still thinking about it, so.
Yeah, let's see.
Oh, there it is. We're pleased to announce that we've continued to make progress on Enzo, and we'll be accepting nominations from customers for the new beta program that will begin this quarter. So there's that blog post from Sean Bass from recently that I will check out. But otherwise, there's nothing to speak of here.
VMware Horizon Air /Enzo.
So it does say that there is a booth present. So we'll head over there after this and go check it out.
Do you know, seriously, I don't know if I knew ever that Enzo existed. I was thinking of Flex this entire time. So I thought when Citrix announced Citrix Workspace Cloud... and VMware responded. I was like, why do they respond with a client hypervisor? That doesn't make sense.
Here's how I explained what Enzo was or why they made that announcement then. I mean, A, it's just the Citrix VMware thing, but if VMware didn't announce Enzo on day one of Synergy, we would have been walking around Synergy going, man, Citrix is talking about Workspace Cloud. What's VMware going to do?
Yeah.
And
dun,
now,
dun, dun.
And now we're saying Citrix is talking about Workspace Cloud, but man, Enzo, man, we got to wait and see what that thing is going to be like.
Yeah.
And so all they needed was the intrigue, and that was about it. And so they really don't have to deliver for a while.
They got a lot of mileage out of that tweet.
Yeah.
But Citrix, there was a blog post.
Workspace Cloud is out now, right? Yeah, it was like as of last week. Yeah. So we'll talk about, we've got a podcast tomorrow, right?
Yes.
With Citrix. Actually, all these questions for Citrix, we'll ask them tomorrow.
Perfect.
So that'll be fun, too. I like having, like, a VMware podcast and a Citrix podcast, like, at the same show.
Right. So Flex, of course, I guess if anybody was curious, then on Noah's session on Sunday, he said, like, you know, he mentioned Flex, and the two big things that make Flex different than Ace.
Oh, well, I don't know what those were, because, because VMware had, so
our takeaway from that was nothing.
Hold on, so there's old Ace and new Ace. So because Jack was talking about Ace, app configuration for enterprises. That's like an MDM, that's an EMM thing, it's a phone thing. how like, just ignorantly old and, out of touch do I sound when I say that?
No, you can just say it's a phone thing.
It's a phone thing. It's
web thing,
the kids
it's
are
a phone
doing.
Thing.
Gen Y, whatever. Anyway, the old Ace.
Whatever the kid's younger than you are.
The old Ace was, you know, that was managing. That was like Mocha 5.
Hey, I remember old Ace too.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, old Ace was Mocha 5. Yeah, it was VMware's client hypervisor. It was their second attempt at a client hypervisor.
And so Flex is taking.
That's what it was. It was their Type 2 client hypervisor.
Yeah, so Flex is taking, you know, Fusion Pro Player, Type 2 hypervisor, Mirage. App volumes, Immedio, and all that kind of stuff, and just making a thing that, you know.
Oh, is all that stuff in there too?
Yeah. I mean, this is not Flex is not a product. It's just this is a project.
Noah's points were like,
oh,
Ace,
why better?
Like,
yeah.
Ace, old Ace,
yeah.
Like no Mac. Hypervisor with that,
yeah.
And also
no management,
yeah.
no management,
yeah.
really,
and that it's it's 2015, so all of our laptops are
Yeah,
we asked what the differences were, and that was basically it. Like,
no management, this one's manageable.
It's called Flex now. That's difference number one, and difference number two is we have management.
Yeah, management, but I mean, it's management, but it's hardware. Like, we all run, I have a VM.
VMware didn't add hardware, they just added management.
No, but my point is, but what made it different, though, was that 10 years later, every laptop, even the small, skinniest MacBook Air, can run a VM, a Windows VM in it.
We were waiting for vPro and, like, VTX extensions and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, you can play, you know, like, I mean, you know, every laptop on the planet can run a VM without any impacts to it now.
Right.
And you can have full graphics and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so that's it. I think that's it for the keynote today, yeah?
Yeah.
The other thing I want to mention real quick, which I thought was interesting, was Sean Bass did a session on Sunday about the future of the Windows desktop in the enterprise, and it was over the next like 5 years. And what was great about it was all full of data. I took some notes that you can read on the blog.
1,500 words of them.
Yeah, he talks fast, he type fast. It wasn't about VMware's future direction. It was just about like, hey, here's what Windows 10 can do. Here's all that stuff. And one thing he mentioned I had never thought about before is he said one of the important things in desktop moving forward is going to be search. And he said, because if you think of like desktop search, and he said, if you think about it, you know, where is your information stored today? So before it was like, you know, it was on your hard drive and you had like a little puppy in XP that like would find it for you. But now in 2015, we have, you know, stuff in network shared drives, home drives. It's on the intranet, it's on SharePoint, it's on, you know, your corporate social networks like Slack or whatever. It's on corporate cloud applications, it's personal cloud apps. It's social media, it's locally on end users, desktops, and laptops. It's in your email client, it's in your IM client, it's in your browser, it's in your browser history.
As of 3 months ago for our team, it's in Slack, and then like 2 more months, it's going to be in something else.
Right, and before that, it was it's Evernote, it's all over the place. And so having some kind of universal desktop search that can, or something that works like desktop search, but can go across everything, even when you're not connected, and all your clouds and all that sort of thing. Basically, he was saying that's going to be really important in the enterprise, in terms of like enterprise desktop computing.
And it's hard.
Yeah. Well, it sucks right now. Like, right now, I got Gmail, I got some stuff that goes in there. I try and search my IM history, I try and search, I don't know where it is. It's like finding something on Apple TV. I want to watch, you know, like Amy Schumer's show. Is it on Hulu? Is it on Netflix? I got cable, so it's on demand, or is it on the cable on the app, or is it inside my...
And that's the thing, like, we're capable of kind of figuring that out and remembering that sort of thing, but, like, my wife, she's a user. Like, I want her to just say, I want to watch Inside Amy Schumer, and go. And it finds the best quality one for the cheapest price and all of that stuff. Like, we need to be able to put all of these sources into one thing and make it stupidly easy to do it. And that's why search is going to be important.
Yeah.
You know, I spent 5 minutes yesterday trying to look up a list that I had saved in some email because I had to, from my phone, go out to Exchange and come back. And, like, why can't I just do that? Why isn't that there? Why can't I find that quickly?
And it's hard. So
it's hard. There's a company called X1. X1 Search, I guess, or is it X1?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you remember them from that? We used to use them 10 years ago.
Who did?
We did.
Where?
X1. We used to use them for desktop and Outlook search before. Remember the Google search that you could put into Windows XP? I forget what it was called, but X1 had a thing at the same time. Maybe it wasn't you and I. I don't know. I used to use them 10
Groove.
Years ago. Groove, man. Before that, even though. This was a long time ago.
It was like the X1 search bar or whatever.
Yeah.
And it would like index your emails
and your files and everything, but it was all right there.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. It was really fast. So, it didn't rely on like a Windows search service. It was fast. You could even put it into virtual desktop like terminal service at the time, and it worked really well.
So they still exist, and we looked at them yesterday. It's cool because they have they've got a mobile app, like an iPhone app. And then it will go against your desktop and all your sources and your, you know, things. They only probably do like half the stuff that's on Sean's list, but it's a good start anyway. And it was cool too because they can run their indexer as a standalone service. So with the VDI, you're not actually like indexing inside every single VM, and then it's always available when your VM's off and that kind of stuff.
It's a standalone service outside the virtual machines or inside them?
It's a virtual appliance.
Okay. Right, so outside the VMs. So then they have, you know, they have these connectors that connect into all these different services.
Perfect.
But the problem is, like, how many services do we have? and what service am I going to have next month and next year?
Yeah.
And like they have their list there, and it's like, yeah, it's a constant challenge to
so what maybe, they do. Maybe there's some extensibility to it. You can write your own.
Yeah, I don't know, like, because what they do, like, they had a list of everything to do, and Jack and I talked to them yesterday. I went down our list: Mac desktop client, no; Slack, no; Salesforce, no. Now they do, you know, IMs, no. Yeah, Dropbox, yes. File shares, yes. Internet, yes. SharePoint, or SharePoint, yes. Dropbox, yes. So like they did really literally have half of our stuff, and for me to search half my stuff in one place is a start. Like everything else we've been talking about today. But the other half is still not there. But the point is, the broader point is I thought that was really interesting with Sean that that he brought that up. That was that was something to think about in the desktop world. Speaking of Sean, congratulations to that dude. We talked about last week how he's now CTO of desktop. He's not the EUC CTO. He's CTO of, like, desktop and stuff like mobility and something else.
VMware has 100 CTOs.
Yeah.
It's not that many. But VMware has CTOs for, thought leaders for various groups.
You know, I want to do an article on this last week. So first of all, last night at my place, Sean came over, Rick, Ruben, Benny, Chetan, and it's kind of cool to just, like, hang out with, like, the gang of 10 years,
We knew everybody when they were SEs, and now there's two CTOs sitting at the table, and we're just bullshitting.
We were back at my neighborhood, outside of the way of the conference center. We got takeout burgers and beer at the corner store, and just kind of sat around. But it's cool. We're sort of looking like, wow, like Ruben's CTO, like Chet's company's like taking off, like Rick's there. It's kind of cool to see that the people we grew up with together are like doing things. That are interesting, but I'll tell you what, man.
It's like Kevin the other day when we had him on the podcast, Kevin Goodman, and we said, we met him back in Bryform 2006, I think. You had him on a podcast, and he goes, "Yeah, I've had 3 jobs since then. How many have you guys had?" So look at all these people moving on. Here we are doing the same thing.
But I'll tell you what, I told Sean this. Like, I'm gonna do an article next week. Like, Citrix letting Sean go to VMware. That was a huge mistake for Citrix. And I'm not, like, Sean didn't work at Citrix, so like, I'm not saying they let him go there, but I'm saying, like, the fact that, you want to sort of look at the momentum of Citrix or the momentum of VMware, and we talk about, the personalities going there, and Sanjay's good, and Sumit's over there, and, like, but Sean Bass is, a million miles an hour, super respected in this industry, and for him to be in the position he's at VMware, you want to say, forget Citrix.
We would have said the same thing if Sean would have gone to Citrix.
I would have said the same thing if Sean went to Citrix, 100%. But, you'd say what you want about Citrix. Look at, forget Elliot and Templeton and Features of 7 and, like, product quality and people leaving. Forget all that, like, stuff you sort of do. Sean Bass is at VMware. That's Citrix's problem.
Agreed.
So,
okay.
Podcast over.
I think we got to end on that. That's a drop the mic kind of moment right there.
Boom, mic dropped. We're going to do a podcast tomorrow again, actually with Citrix. We can just pick up the discussion. So we're going to go run around the floor. Tweet us, if you've got vendors you want us to see, questions you want to ask. We'll be talking to Sanjay, Harry, and Noah later. The Best of VM World. TechTarget is again for the 9th year in a row responsible for the Best of VM World Awards. The award ceremony is today at 2 o'clock this afternoon in Gateway 103, which is one of those rooms in the hallways kind of connecting the buildings, I think. We did all the judging last night, and the winners are going to be revealed at 2 o'clock today, so come and watch that. Otherwise, we'll see you on the tubes, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.